This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Right. Thank you, Lena, for that wonderful introduction and for the invitation to give this talk. Good evening, everybody. I can barely see you, but I'm sure you can see me. How is everybody doing? Good? Great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the ongoing research in my lab at the intersection of communication and robotics. So as you all know these days, communication signals are everywhere. We all want connectivity, and as a result of that, anywhere you go, we're connected. So then we can ask a very good question of how can we use these signals for something else rather than communication? Can we use them for sensing, for instance? So this is really called RF for sensing, using radio frequency signals for sensing. These signals interact with objects, like if there's a communication going on here, it interacts with you guys. So then, can we extract the information about you guys, for instance, now, or about the objects that these radio waves visit from them? How much information can they tell us about the environment? That's what we're trying to address in my group. So let me give you some examples. Wouldn't it be cool if this air in this area, we can just use the existing Wi-Fi nodes and routers to count people or localize them? Or in this office building, figure out which area is more crowded. Where are the people? Which rooms are more crowded? Just by using, let's say, Wi-Fi signals. These are the signals from your laptop, when you're getting connected from your laptop. Or similarly, there will be similar signals at different frequency when you use your cell phones. We just want to use these signals. Another example is here, these are actually our robots. They only have a communication device on them, a Wi-Fi card, but they want to use it to image. They don't have a camera. So they will come here, and they want to image this whole area. And not only image the outside, but they want to see if they can image through walls, something that the camera can't do, but the RF signal may be able to do. So when I say RF signal here, just think about a Wi-Fi signal, a signal that is emitted from your laptop when you're using it for communication or from your iPad or your from your phone. Okay. So in this talk, I'm going to talk about two examples of such things that we do in my lab. One of them is imaging in X-ray vision with Wi-Fi, and the other one is counting people with Wi-Fi. I'm going to start with the imaging. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the robotics side. As we all know, we hear more and more about these unmanned vehicles soon being part of our society. And I'm sure you heard about maybe Amazon dropping our mails with the Amazon Prime with an unmanned air vehicle. With an unmanned air vehicle. And this is another example of the Google car. And we envision that maybe in 10 years from now, we'll be driving in one of them. And the idea of these unmanned vehicles helping with search and rescue operation, it has been around for a while and is starting to become more and more a reality. So, when we talk about our imaging and X-ray vision with these Wi-Fi signals, we're going to also give that power to unmanned vehicles. So I'm going to be talking about X-ray vision for robots with only Wi-Fi. Okay? So let's start. Let's see what I mean. What's the setup? What are we talking about? Let's look at this video. These two guys are coming outside here. They only have Wi-Fi transceivers, so one is transmitting, the other one is receiving. That transmission goes through the object. They don't know anything about this area. They just arrived here. They don't know anything about the outside wall or what is inside. This is a top view of showing what's inside. They're interested in imaging this completely unknown area through these walls that are pretty attenuating. They're interested in imaging everything. the walls, as well as inside. Now, you may ask, why are we interested in doing this? It's pretty cool, right? But why do we want to do it? Are there some applications? And you can think about a lot of applications for this. Search and rescue and surveillance is a good example. For instance, let's say there was the earthquake in Japan, the tsunami and the nuclear incident. Wouldn't it have been great if you could have sent unmanned vehicles that could see through walls and assess the situation inside beforehand, before humans would go in? But there are a lot more applications beyond robotics, actually, for this. You don't have to even implement it on robots. It's just for any Wi-Fi network. The ability to localize, image, and monitor and track, and also have the additional capability of true walls. You can think of elderly monitoring in a house, some elderly person living by themselves, the network be able to localize them, figure out if they have been not moving for a while. There's also a lot of security applications, intruder detections, that you can basically leverage by using these signals. So there are a lot of interesting application also if you can use Wi-Fi to do this. Now, let's see what we're interested in doing. Let's play this video. You can see here that we have a transmission. This transmission of this robot is going through objects, going through the environment. This is a plot of the received power of the receiving robot. And we only have this. This is what every Wi-Fi card can measure, actually. It's called RSSI. And based on this plot, and only this plot, we want to image everything. So they will move around a little bit, and we have only measured this, and we're asking, well, image everything. Okay? At the moment, we're going to talk about imaging a 2D cut. But you can extend the same concepts to 3D imaging. So the fundamental question is, how extractable is this? This is a really hard problem, actually. How extractable is this information? And what kind of motion patterns should I do? Where should the robot go? Are there some places that is better for it to do this? So let me tell you a little bit about some of the challenges. First of all, this is very multidisciplinary. So there's the communication, propagation, wave modeling even. Then there's an information extraction phase, for which you need to do a lot of what we call signal processing. And then there's the robotics element, there's path planning, where should this robot go? Okay? And you have to bring everything together. So just to give you a sense of how we go about doing research on this, I'm gonna mention three main challenges that we have to address. One thing is the modeling of the wave interaction with the object. You guys probably have heard of Maxwell's equations, and if you really want to write down the physics, you want to go at that level and write down exactly how the propagation you've made is interacting with this environment. But that's not going to work. Too complex, too computational complex, it's not going to be feasible. So how are we going to model this interaction? How good is our modeling? And what kind of tricks are we going to use to get around things that we're not going to model? What are the important things to model? So that's one main challenge we're constantly working on. The other thing is that the number of measurements we have at the end when these robots move around, I showed you that received power plot, the number of measurements is much, much, much less than the number of unknowns. So what are we going to do about it? How are we going to image this when we don't have enough information? And finally, we're dealing with robotics. Even the navigation of a robot is prone to localization error, meaning that as it moves on, it may not exactly know where it is. And that's going to affect how it's going to figure out where everything else is. So let me show you some examples. So basically what we've done in my lab is basically propose a solution, a way of doing this imaging, by bringing these aspects together in the right way, basically. Let me show you some examples. So let's start with the modeling aspect, okay? So here, for instance, on this received antenna, you can start writing down expressions for electric field, and we're not gonna go through equations here, but they get very complex, as I mentioned. So we are constantly working on proper approximations. that we capture what we care about. And so here, let me show you. This is the received power measurement. So the blue signal here is a real measurement. It's one of those received power measurements I showed you. This is what your Wi-Fi, your laptop would measure, let's say. And these are some of our approximations. This black one, you can see, it was what we used to use earlier. And you can see it captures these jumps really well. But there is a gap in other areas. Now, this other one, this red signal here, actually, you can see that it is getting closer, capturing the jumps well, but also getting closer in this middle part, for instance. And these are some of the things we're constantly trying to improve, and a lot of it is going to be mathematical derivations and mathematical formulations. Now, where should the robot go? Does it matter? Are there some locations that are better for it, or are there some motion patterns that are better for it? And again, we address them by looking at the math and a lot of mathematical derivation. The answer is actually matters. So we can, for instance, prove there's certain motion patterns that will make the object, this structure, more visible. Okay? And for instance, here, you can see in this cartoony thing, if these robots go on these parallel motion patterns outside, and you're going to see it in a bit in the video, that's going to actually make the information be more visible. And again, we can prove a lot of these things also mathematically. But what would happen if the robots can't take a certain motion pattern, right? Because it could be limited outside where they go. We also study that. We call it case of no specific pattern. And we actually can also image in those cases, too. We just have to do some other more creative solutions to account for that. Now, the last challenge I want to tell you about a little bit is the fact that I said you do not have that many measurements. In fact, you have very little measurements. Maybe your measurements amount to 1 or 2% of the number of things that are unknown. Imagine you have a number of unknowns, but you made measurements, and your measurements, the size of your measurements, is only 1% to 2% of the unknowns. How are you going to guess the rest? It's very hard. We call this an underdetermined problem. We do a lot of signal processing, and we basically rely on the core fact that a lot of things, although big in size, are compressible, meaning that let's say I may be talking here for half an hour, but the core important things that I'm saying, maybe you can compress it to 5 minutes. Okay? So that's the base of a lot of compression techniques when you transfer files over internet. Now, the trick is, how can we use such a thing here? Is this area that we're trying to image, is it really compressible? Although seemingly it has a huge size, can I compress it and collapse it to a much smaller space? And then sense it and reconstruct it that way. That's what we actually have done. And so that was an enabling key factor in some of the results I'm going to show you. Okay, so with that, let me show you some results. So this is basically, this is an area outside of our building, the electrical and computer engineering building. So we build structures there ourselves, so we have a little bit more controlled environment. And so this is a Pioneer robot. And so in the video, you're going to see them move outside, and you're going to see some imaging. Okay. So this area is completely unknown to them. You can see they're moving. This is the parallel motion pattern I mentioned, which becomes very more informative than not having a motion pattern. You can see after first round, it didn't look that good. After the second pass, it's being able to clean up the image more. This is percentage measurement. See how underdetermined it is. The percentage measurement they're collecting is less than 2% as compared to the unknowns. This is their last round, and you can see that now it has improved quite a bit. Let's compare it. I'm going to pause here to compare it with the original one. This is the real 2D cut of this structure. White means that there is something, and black means there is nothing. And here, this is what they imaged. They imaged this with less than 2% measurements. And you can see the size from here was 2.69 meter from this edge here to the center. And they are only 3 centimeters off, not bad. Of course, we do not expect this to be perfect. I mean, these are just Wi-Fi signals, right? You can see that they can image the shape and the structure pretty well here. Now, let's continue this. If it continues it. Okay, so that's what my students do in my lab. They build structures. No, these are, we pay undergrads. So now we're building a more complex structure. There are two things inside now. It gets harder. And let's pause here so we can analyze it. You can see we have two things in here. It gets harder for them. So we're trying to understand how far we can push this. And when we reach a point that, well, it's now we can't resolve this, now we're going to see if we can improve our techniques. So that's how the research goes, right? And you can see that they can image those things, you know, fairly well, but there's some errors. You know, it's not perfect, and obviously we don't expect it to be perfect. But here, 3% measurements, but we're glad that we're able to see these two things fairly well inside. Now, what if there's a human inside? So my lead PhD student volunteers, very confident of his work. He goes inside at the gunshot, and he is imaged. And you can see he's localized and imaged. All right. So you can do more complex structures. You can combine it with other sensing techniques. I don't know if you heard of laser scanners. Laser scanners are used by a lot of robots for them to basically scan and see what's right in front of them, and so you can combine the two sensing modalities. So that will just mean you're going to be able to, sense more and see more. And this is the original structure. And without our approach, the traditional robotics technique won't be able to tell you anything about inside here. But we're able to basically reconstruct this original one in these manners. Okay, so I'm going to now go to the other RF sensing related project we do in my lab, and that's counting people. Okay? So, what are we interested in? Imagine that there's a Wi-Fi link. So, my laptop here, let's say, is connected to a router. And let's say a bunch of us are walking here. Can the link count how many people there are? Without relying on people to carry a device. So, we're not going to see who's on and who's connected to the network. We're not going to rely on that. We're just going to analyze the changes that I'm making to the link as I'm moving here. And I'm going to see if there is any information about the number of people present in the received signal. Okay? So that's what we've been interested in doing. And there are a lot of actual applications for this. Counting is actually a big, interesting area. You can think of optimization of heating and cooling in a building. If the building can smartly know which areas are more crowded or not, it can optimize and be more energy efficient. A lot of retailers are interested for business planning. They want to know who stopped by this product, who has been looking at this ad. It's very important for them. You can think of a lot of other applications, emergency evacuation, entertainment delivery, and so on and so forth. So what we have been interested in as a scientist is what is fundamentally possible? How much information is there? Is the information there or not? And to what extent? How much can I push this? So let me show you sample setup. So here we're just using the robots as carrier Wi-Fi cards. The robots are not going to move in what I'm going to talk next. Okay? So there's a transmitter here, a Wi-Fi transmitter, Wi-Fi receiver here. And then basically, you see people are walking. So there's a small area. You can see actually a lot of people walking. This is the received power measurement at the receiving card, Wi-Fi card. And only based on this and this, we want to count how many people walk. People will be crisscrossing each other. It could be appearing at some place several times. It doesn't matter. We just want to count in that setting. Okay? So, now, this is really, again, a hard problem. There are a lot of propagation phenomena. And that's what makes it challenging for all these, the imaging, the counting, or using these signals for sensing. Because there are a lot of things that are happening that it would be prohibitive to model. So what are the key things to model? And so figuring that out and being able to relate that to what you're interested in, that's the key thing. For instance, in this case, our key contribution was basically saying two propagation phenomena are key, and we're going to have a certain mathematical formulation of it that relates it to the number of people. Those two propagation phenomena are called line of sight crossing and multi-path effect. And here, for instance, you can see the received power. This is what you will be handed. So your card will give you this and says, count people. How many people were here? So this is just the received power measurements over time. This is called RSSI, as I mentioned. All the cards that measure this. And you can see, doesn't look very informative, right? But can we interpret these changes, these dips? Do they have any meanings? And mathematically, we bring meaning to them. You know, that's exactly what we did. And so let me show you an illustration of those propagation phenomena that are important and we captured mathematically. So this is a line of sight path from transmitter to receiver. As this person crossed, you see there was a huge drop. So we want to capture that. But also when this person is not crossing, the signal bounces off this person and comes to the receiver, causing what we call multi-path fading. Now, this is one person, we're going to have several people. So mathematically, we want to capture all these impacts. And that's what we've done, a mathematical formulation going from these two fundamental phenomena and characterizing them mathematically as a function of the number of people present. So let me now show you some results. Okay? So we've done a lot of experiments outdoors and indoors. Let me show you the outdoors results. So people are walking, and we're going to pretty soon see there's a table. One person is walking. This is one sample estimation. Three people estimated three. Five people is four. It's not perfect. Seven people is seven. And nine people at eight. That's it. Didn't do too bad. And we were pretty surprised when we see that, well, you can actually count pretty well. Now, it gets harder indoor. It's always harder indoor. Propagation phenomena, there are more propagation phenomena that you don't like. But still, you can do a relatively decent job. Now, look at how crowded the area is. It's pretty dense. And so it can also estimate the number of people indoor. Now, that was one example of a run I showed you. So what we do is we do several runs and we draw statistics, right? And so these are the CDF curves. So these are sample tables I showed you already. But these plots show me what are the statistics. For instance, I can conclude from so many measurements we did in that environment that basically, if I use directional antennas, 100% of the time, my error would be two people or less. And if I use omnidirectional antenna would be what exactly comes with your Wi-Fi card, is what we use in the video I showed you. Then about 96% of the time, my error would be two people or less. This is outdoors. If I go indoors, again, with directional antenna, we'll get a similar result, 100% of the time, two people or less. With omnidirectional, then it gets 67% of the time or so, it's going to be three people or less. It gets a little bit worse. Okay. So it was interesting. We released a number of videos on our results. And it was interesting to see public's response to them, as well as the press. So it got quite a good attention, but it was interesting to see everybody's interpretation. Of course, our robots were called Superman of robots. and all sorts of interesting names. International Business Times said this is Batman Dark Knight Surveillance. I have no idea what that means, and maybe some of you know. Or some news got scared. Huffington Post said, well, government is going to use this now to count people, and so on and so forth. So it was interesting to see their reaction of people, and definitely captured a lot of people's imagination, but also a lot of interesting application. Applications were brought to our attention by businesses and by people. And that was certainly very interesting. So, actually, I'm quite early. Didn't expect that. So I guess I can take more questions. So let me summarize what I talked about. So I talked about using communication signals for sensing. And these are the everyday signals. Signals like Wi-Fi signals that are everywhere these days. And I talked about basically having X-ray vision with one, being able to see through walls. And we're not talking about, all the walls are not the same. There's some walls that are pretty transparent to a wireless transmission, like some wooden walls. We're really talking about true concrete walls, true walls that are quite attenuating. And the area we talked about was quite unknown. The robots came, it's not like they had been there before. And we only have the received power measurements, something that your card can measure. And we also talked about automation of all these with unmanned vehicles. And that's quite important because we're hearing more and more about the possibility of these vehicles being incorporated in our daily lives. At the moment, we're also looking into putting this on our unmanned air vehicle. We're hoping in the next few months we'll be done with that. We're working on that now. Super exciting. On the counting part, we were very interested in understanding how we can count the number of people with just a Wi-Fi link. And so the key thing is that we didn't want to rely on personal devices, because when you think about counting people, you can say, well, you know, if I'm coming here with my laptop, and laptop may get connected to the network, and then maybe they can count me like that. We're not talking about that, actually. We're talking about without relying on them. So that makes it super challenging. And so we basically came up with a way by analyzing the changes of the signal, mathematically analyzing the changes of the signal, to come up with a way of capturing the key phenomena and be able to count people. And so we showed that we so far counted up to 10 people. And again, this is with only Wi-Fi power measurements, both indoors and outdoors. And so we're now looking to extend it to bigger areas, more people, and sort of a lot of exciting things you can do. So with that, I would like to acknowledge my students who have been doing great work on these projects. And a lot of those videos I show are by the core of our College of Engineering. And of course, National Science Foundation has been paying for it, very important. And thank you so much. I have 4 more minutes, yeah. So,
you've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.